Proverbs 23 and verse number 26. My son, well, what an important verse. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us, dear Lord. This thing of raising children, I guess it seems pretty easy until you have some. And Lord, we need your help. The young couples in this church need your help. And I thank you, dear Lord. I'm blessed every week to see the level of dedication of our parents here in this matter of bringing up their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Lord, we want to be an encouragement to them. There's days, Lord, when it seems like it's working, and there's days, Lord, where you wonder if we're doing anything right. But, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that through it all, with your help, Lord, you'll allow us to continue to do what this church has been known for, and that's the rearing of young people for godly service, and Lord, that they'd be raised in a manner that would be pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is quite a verse. My son, give me thine heart. And I feel like that even though there's two things that is requested of the child, the first one is the responsibility of the child, and the second one puts responsibility upon the parents. So take a look at this verse. My son, give me thine heart. Let's stop right there. One of the best pieces of advice I can give to every young person in this room, by the way, I'm talking all the way when you're little, all of you listen, all the way when you're teenagers, is this. Give your heart to your parents. Give your heart to your father. Give your heart to your mother. That's so important. You understand that all that Solomon could do in the writing of this proverb is request it. I've watched children that were anxious and excited, and you know, they couldn't dream of doing anything less than giving their heart to their mother, heart to their father. And I could tell you this, that those children seem to always do well. But you know what? If you want to, you can become resistant to that. And you can say, well, it's my heart, and I'm not giving it to my mom. It's my heart. I can tell my dad wants my heart, but I'm not giving it to my dad. And you know what? You can live that kind of a life. But let me say this. I've never seen a child refuse to give their heart to their mom and dad who also didn't refuse to give their heart to the Lord. And I believe if you're not willing to give your heart to your mom and dad, the reason is because you want it for you. And if you want it for you, when God wants it, you're not going to want to give it to him either. But that means give your heart to your dad. Let me say this to the young ladies in here. Some of you are running around trying to find some boy to give your heart to. Why don't you give it to your daddy? Why don't you give it to your daddy? Some of you guys running around looking for some girl to give your heart to. Well, I'm going to recommend a girl you can give it to. How about giving it to your mom? Give it to your mom. If you'll give your heart to your parents and allow them to guide your life and guide your heart and protect you the way that they have been wired to do, then I promise you it may seem cumbersome at times. But in the long run, you'll be so glad that you did it. And so first of all, we see the command here, children, give your heart to your father, give your heart to your mother, give your heart to your parents. And then here's the second command to the children, but this is the one that brings great responsibility upon the parents. He goes on to say, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So children, I'm going to ask two things of you because God asked them of you. Give your heart to your parents. And number two, observe their ways. What does that mean? That means watch them. Watch them. Learn from them the pattern that they are setting before you. And I want to say quickly to the parents, if God's put this in the scriptures, then let's let your children, I mean, let them observe a life that's worth emulating. That's worth emulating. Now, I promise you this is true. Whether or not they obey the first part of this verse or not, every child's going to observe, going to obey the second part of this verse, which means they're going to be watching you. And I don't think there's anything more sobering than the realization as you begin to bring children up that much of what they're going to become is going to be dependent on the type of example that you set before them. I read an interesting quote. I should have wrote it down so that I got it word for word. But I read this when I was reading a little bit. A matter of fact, I think it's in Pastor Dirksen's book. You'll see this. And he didn't say specifically who he was quoting, but he said, I heard a man say, and here's the quote. He said, no matter how much time we spend in training our children in the matters of honesty, decency, and character, isn't it amazing that in the long run they just end up being like us? And I thought to myself, you know what? That's sobering and scary. Because you know what? This whole thing about do as I do, not as I say, that just don't work. It just don't work in the long run. And so here we have then a verse that really is directed to young people and children and young people. I certainly wanted to give you the truths that are found in this verse. But as I said, by the time we get to the end of this verse, what a responsibility has come upon us that are parents. And so I'm going to give you five things tonight that I would hope that your young children would observe in your life. If you want them to observe your way and you want them to give you your heart, then be trustworthy and be careful what you do with that heart. And by the way, if you're going to ask them to observe your ways, live a life that's worth emulating, a good life for them to follow. Now, let me give you the five B's, okay? Well, when my children watch me, when they observe me, what do I hope they'll see? Well, let's start by saying number one, be loving. Be loving. Let your children see your love. Let them see it. Let them observe it. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's do some application. Let them see your love. Wives, let your children see the love that they have that you have for their daddy. I'm talking about let them see it, okay? I mean, we were little kids growing up. We would walk into the kitchen sometimes, and my mom and dad are just in there smooching. I mean, in the kitchen, smooching. In the kitchen. I mean, right in front of God and everybody, in the kitchen, smooching. And I mean, we'd walk in and go, oh, okay, like that. And we'd, you know, go somewhere else. Can I tell you this? I'm glad that I was able to, well, not real glad, but I was kind of glad. Didn't really want to see some of that, but you know what? You listen to me. That built a security in my life. Mom and Dad loves each other. Mom and Dad loves each other. I should have just brought Brother Dirksen's book up and read this part of it. One of the things he shares in that is when his daughter, I can't remember if she was 9 years old, 12 years old, somewhere, but he said, man, you talk about transparent. This guy, everybody ought to read this book. Gentlemen especially, read the book, okay? But he said that when his daughter was 9, she came to him and she said to her dad, Dad, I need to talk to you. And she's crying. And he said, what's the matter? She said, I'm afraid that you and Mom are going to get a divorce. Can you imagine a 9-year-old girl having to come up and say that to her dad or say that to her? And he said, the first thing that I wanted to do was tell her how ridiculous that was and how silly she was for thinking of that. And I think the chapter is entitled Willing to Justify Himself. And he said, what I wanted to do was begin to justify myself and to tell her how ridiculous that her notion was. But then he said, I, with the Holy Spirit's help, caught myself immediately. And instead of trying to defend myself, I thought to myself, wait a minute, what in the world have I done or what in the world am I doing that would make my daughter feel like that maybe my marriage, the marriage between her mom and her dad's not secure? And he goes on to explain some things and share some things that I think is very valuable. And folks, listen to me. You may not think this is true, but you know what? A child that's brought up in a family that has a mom and dad that are obviously madly in love with each other, there's just a security to that. I was sitting there thinking when I read that story, I thought to myself, you know what? I can't imagine having that thought. That never entered in my mind one time growing up that there was even a possibility that my mom and dad would not spend their lives together. I mean, they are madly in love. But if all the kids hear is you bickering and fighting and carrying on, that has more of an effect on them than you know. Because you know what? One of the biggest unspoken fear in a child's heart is, what if my mom and dad break up? What if they get divorced? And so let them see your love for each other. Let them see the love that you have for the Lord. Let them see it, okay? I mean, speak about it. Talk about it. I mean, man, don't praise the Lord. Speak highly of him. And let them see that. Not just the words that you speak, not just what they hear, but what they see. An excitement about going to church. I was talking, dealing with a marriage situation and trying to give some counsel and stuff. And I noticed that the boys in the family were very much, when it came to spiritual things, regressed. And it seems like the girls in the family were really on board. And as I began to have the couple come in because there was other issues, I began to understand that, you know what was happening in the marriage? The mom was very much excited about the things of the Lord. And the dad was pretty much dragging his feet, mumbling and grumbling about church attendance, about anything extra at the church, about any kind of involvement that she wanted to be a part of. Well, guess what? Here's a family where you got girls that are excited about the Lord. You know what? Here you got a family with some boys that are just walking around dragging their feet, whining and grumbling about everything they have to do at church. And what I'm saying is this. They're going to see it. They're going to see something. They're going to see excitement about the things of the Lord, or they're going to see a hesitancy. You know, well, I don't say it. Well, you know what, folks? Whether or not you say it out loud or not, they see the rolling of the eyes. They hear the... I mean, come on. What I'm saying is, man alive, let kids grow up in a family where the parents are excited about church, excited about soul winning, excited about whatever ministry that they're involved in, excited for the things of the Lord. And then quickly, let them see the love that you have for them. And I know everybody's, not everybody's wired the same, and I know there's a whole lot of different ways to say I love you. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that parents need to let their kids know and see and hear how much they love them. It ought to be an odd thing for your children to hear you say that you love them. Now, daddies, look at me. A lot of times we're the problem here. Well, they know. Well, okay, they know. Let them hear it anyway. Well, my daddy never told me he loved me. Well, would you have liked for him to? Would that have meant a lot? So why are you choosing to emulate something that is not, come on. So you're going to pass it down to the next generation? My dad was unloving. I'm going to be unloving because my dad was unloving, and hopefully you'll be unloving too to your children. Come on. I mean, hug them. All right, pick them up. I mean this. I'm talking about everything within the bounds of what's appropriate, but I'm going to tell you something. We were hands-on with our girls. We loved our girls. We hugged our girls. We kissed our girls. I mean, you know what? Just, you know what? I don't think one of them didn't know how much we loved them. And so let them see the love that you have for them. So number one, be loving. Quickly, number two, be real. Be real. Now, this is one of the most important things I'll say tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but you know what? One of the things that you've got to do with kids is you've got to be honest. You've got to be real. What do you mean that by that, preacher? I'm talking about being genuine. Being genuine. I'm talking about being a real Christian. Okay, Christian's not something we put on and then go to church with and then come home and take off. A Christian's what we are. I mean, it's 24/7. It's all the time. Okay, I'm not talking about being perfect. By the way, young people, I'm going to get to that in the next one. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about being real. Be real. Be genuine. Be sincere. Don't be a hypocrite. Okay, don't be one thing in front of a group of people and the exact opposite thing when you get to home. Because if you're real, and you know what? The kids will respect that. Be real about your successes. Be real about them. Okay, don't exaggerate them. Don't overblow them. But share them. Be real about it. Be sincere in your faith. Be sincere in your walk with God. Be real and sincere in your treatment of others. Okay? Don't be a fake. The worst things a kid can do is watch you walk up to somebody and put on this plastic pretend and treat them a certain way, then walk over and get in the car and turn into the exact opposite. See, they are observing your ways. Well, that's what you do. people that you don't like, instead of getting that right in your heart, you just pretend to like them. And then you get back away from them and you talk about them. You stick a knife in their back. Well, what in the world is that? Okay, be real. Be real. I mean, don't be a fake. Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie to your kids. I'll be real careful what I say here, but because I'm not going to be the guy that exposes the... But there's certain holidays where there's a lot of lying going on. And you can do whatever you want. I'm trying to get out of trouble and you're trying to push me into it. So. And by the way, parents, the reason I'm being careful right now is I'm respecting, you know what? I know where my lines are and I know where your lines are, but you know, that's not a big deal. I don't know. You lie to a kid for the first 12 years of their life, and that day comes when they're like, dude. There is not a tooth fairy. Mom and Dad's been smuggling the money in. So funny. I say this all the time. We lie for 12 years, and then all during their teenage years, well, I don't know why my kid don't trust me. So we're just real with them. I mean, they ask me a question. I'm not going to lie to them about it. You know, I'm just going to tell them the truth. The truth. I told you about be real about your successes. Be real about your failures. I mean, man, you know what? Nothing's worse in the world than failing at something. Remember, they're observing your ways. Okay? Failing at something and then blaming everybody else for it. Kids that grow up in a family of blamers, never learn to take responsibility for anything that they do. I mean, you know what? Folks, listen. I've tried a lot of things in my life. I haven't succeeded at all of them. I've failed a lot of times. You know what? You can learn as much from failing. Matter of fact, you probably learn more from failing than you do from succeeding. So a lot of times, you know, there's fails, and then there's epic fails, all right? And sometimes, you know who's has the front row to the epic fails? Your kids. So you can throw things and scream and holler and yell at them and yell at the wife and blame everybody. And, you know, folks, listen to me. Okay. This is hard for me to say because I've done it so many times. But your putter did not miss that putt. Well, this is hard. Okay. Your driver did not hit that hook. We grow up and we spend our life blaming our truck. Then it's our trailer. Then it's our tools. Then it's our animals. We blame the grass. And you know what kids grow up doing? Blaming. And blaming, and blaming, and blaming, and blaming. And you know what? Sometimes you just look at the kids, and you're like, that was an epic fail. You know, they're like this, because they don't want to laugh. You know. Then they say, that was pretty much an epic fail, and then they're fine. They laugh. Well, so what do you think happened? You messed up. I don't mean that. I know that. You know, I'm talking about just being real. You know, one of the things that'll endear people to your heart is if you're just genuine. Okay? And just transparent. You know, don't put on airs. Don't put on airs. Okay? I'm Jerry Ross. I'm kind of stuck with that. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's who I am. All right? And I'll be transparent with you about the good. Hopefully with a large dose of humility, and I mean that. I'll be pretty transparent with you about the bad. You know? I had a Bible college professor that I'll be honest with you, I just lost respect for. It was really hard for me to go to his class after this. And I won't tell you the end of the story, but there is a bad end to this story. And I'm not glad, but it just is. But he came into the class and he wanted to teach on leadership on a certain day. He was talking about projecting an image of leadership. And I'm just going to tell you something, folks. I understand that as a pastor, there's a certain something. I carry responsibility because it's not. I'm just not representing me. I'm representing the office of a pastor. And because of that, there's some things I will do and some things I won't do. And there's certain ways that I dress in certain places where it might not be wrong for someone who's not a pastor not to dress that way. Because of the office that I have respect for. By the way, some of you think I'm just mad at Democrats and I must be poor Republicans, but I've watched this on both sides and I'm not, you know what? I'm conservative because the Bible teaches to be conservative. I'm not a liberal. But I watched the Bushes and I watched the Reagans and I watched the Mrs. Reagan and both Mrs. Bushes. And I watched the way that they dressed and carried themselves. I mean, they were the first ladies. If it was time to go on Air Force One to go somewhere, they were dressed like ladies. And they conducted themselves like ladies. And then we were introduced to the Obamas. And by the way, if you don't believe me, just Google search it and look. Some of the most despicable displays of just immodesty and ridiculous, I mean, just an insult to the office by both of them, both President Obama and by Mrs. Obama. And what I'm saying is there's a certain appropriateness. I get that. But this college professor said to me, he said to the school, I never come to the college unless I've got a suit and tie on and a white shirt. And by the way, he's on staff. I'm okay with that. He said, even if they're having an activity out here, I'll come in a suit and a white shirt and a tie. Okay. Again, you don't do your thing. But this is what bothered me. He looked at us and he said, my children have never seen me without a white shirt and a tie on. And I'm thinking, everybody was like, what? He said, every single morning, my alarm goes off. And he said, we have our own private bathroom, our private room. And he said, when I walk out of that room, I have shine shoes on. I have creased slacks on. I have a white shirt and a tie on. And he said, that's how I come to the breakfast table. Okay, now you lost me. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, there's a difference between being appropriate because of an office, appropriate because of a situation, and being real. And when it comes to your kids, be real. Be real. I don't care if you do teach at a Bible college. Be real. I don't care if you are a pastor. Be real. Okay? I just lost respect for that. I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe your kids would just like to jump into your lap and wrinkle your shirt a little bit. Maybe your kids would like you to go out and play football with them on the front porch, throw a football back and forth. And, you know, my dad apparently didn't have this class. Okay. Come on, all of you are seeing what I'm seeing in your mind right now, okay? Bib overalls, blue work shirt. You know, it's his day off. On his day, folks, come by my house on my day off. I am not dressed like this. I know that's shocking to you, you know. We were pastoring in Brazil. We had some folks come to the church. Of course, I only seen them on Sunday, me and my wife. And they saw us in, we were shopping, you know. And they came around the corner, and one of the little girls looked down the aisle, saw us, walked past, and turned around, went back, and they ran down the aisle, and they looked at both of us. The little girl that came to our church said, how you doing? You go grocery shopping? No, ravens bring our food to us. You know, come on, be real, be real. Number three, be consistent. Be consistent. Now, young people, I want you to listen to me because I'm not giving you these things for you to throw stones at your parents. I promise you this. You have better parents than you deserve. Because all of us have better than we deserve in everything. So this isn't for you to be critical. But let me just help the young people. Seems like when they get up about junior high age, they develop something that I call hypocrisy radar. Okay? And basically, all of a sudden, they become extremely judgmental, especially to anybody that's an authority figure. And what they do is they basically watch everything they do. And the minute that anybody falls less than perfect, then, they want me to respect them. Now listen to me. Your parents are not perfect. They can't be. Your pastor's not perfect. Your school teachers aren't perfect. If you're going to be like the Pharisees, and that's what the Pharisees did, the Bible says that when the disciples ate corn with unwashed hands, the Bible says that the Pharisees, here's what the Bible says, that they found fault. Okay? So they watched the disciples, and they noticed they didn't wash their hands before they started eating corn, and they found fault. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Real simple. Why did they find fault? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall. Now, young people, I can help some of you. I could change your life right now if you'll let me. Do you know why nobody measures up in your mind? You know why everywhere you look you see fault and imperfections? Because that's all you look for. If you looked for the good, you could find that too. And the honest truth is, most of the people that you'll watch for 6 weeks to find one thing so you can go home and say, well, Mom, so-and-so said this, and I don't even know why I have to listen to them. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with your heart. Okay? Now, having said that to the kids, let's say this to the parents and to all of us that are in places of authority. Even though I can't be perfect, I need to be consistent. And you know what? Consistency will win out. Be consistent with your kids. This may be, again, one of the most important things I say. Preacher, how do you raise decent kids? You are consistent. You're consistent, okay? That creates a sense of security in the home, okay? Be consistent in your temperament, okay? Well, I don't mean this. Gentlemen, that's usually us, okay? If one day you come home from work and you're all happy and having fun with the kids, and the next day you come home from work and you're throwing your lunchbox and screaming before you get in. And you know what? They just sit there every day thinking to themselves, you know, what's tonight going to be like? And I want, every time I come home raising children, I want to be pretty much the same when I walk in the door, no matter what happened that day. Let me tell you what a really blessed time is, if you'll use it right. I'm glad I always had a drive home from work. Come on now. We all need a drive home from work. Because not everything every day goes good. But you know what? You got to make a decision when you're driving home. Am I going to take out what didn't go right today on the people that are waiting and have been waiting all day excited just to see me walk in the door? Or am I going to take that in with me? And one of the reasons it's a blessing to have that ride home from work, because you can take that time, if you will, and prepare your heart. Hey, Lord, you know what? This has been a lousy day. I'm not going to lie to you, Lord. I am frustrated, and I am mad. And I don't know why this happened, but, Lord, I've got about 15 minutes left on this drive, and I'm going to walk in, and you know what? My children don't care about what happened at work today. They just want to see Daddy. You know, don't let me take it out on the wife. You know, she didn't have anything to do with it. Okay? And just consistency in your life. I mean, as Sunday school teachers, you know who ought to walk into your class every single week for those students to see? A consistent teacher. Just about the same every single. Folks, if you'll watch me, I pretty much, every service I walk in, if you'll watch me, I'm pretty much the same. I walk up here, I'm pretty much the same. There might be days where I'm a little more lighthearted than others. There may be a days where I'm way too lighthearted. But I hope that every day I'm a bit lighthearted. Well, preacher, if I had the, man, trouble-free life that you had, I know. Be thankful that God's given me that. That way I can be consistent. No, sorry, I'm not going to let you hide behind that. Okay, but preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, and you don't understand either. You don't understand the people in the pew with you and what they're facing. And you don't understand me. And you don't understand the people behind you. You know, everybody, if we wanted to, could come up with a whole stack of reasons why we are a crab all the time and in a bad mood. But that doesn't, listen, come on. Our kids deserve better than that. They deserve better than that. So just be consistent in your temperament. Be consistent in your treatment of all the children. Treat them the same. I understand that, you know what, the kids are not the same. But what I'm saying here is this, make sure that you're not treating one child this way and the other child a different way. Okay? Be consistent in your rules. Be consistent in the implementing of your rules. You know what? If one of the kids break a rule, then what's the punishment that goes with that? They ought to get it. If 3 days later another kid breaks the rule and you aren't consistent in what you did with the other kid, then you know what? That's going to cause a problem. Just be consistent. Love y'all. Just be consistent, okay? Be consistent in your church attendance. I mean, you're doing your kids a huge favor. I mean, folks, we never heard one time in our home, I mean, from the day my mom and dad got saved, we never heard a discussion in our home, well, what do you think? Want to go to church tonight? We just knew that certain time on Sunday, you better start getting ready. And you can go do some things in the afternoon, but a certain time, there's no question. Okay? Be consistent in your church attendance. Be consistent in your standards. Now, let me help the young people here. I hope that as you grow, you watch your parents also grow spiritually. And when I say be consistent in your standards, I don't mean that if you didn't know something was wrong and you learned something was wrong, well, I got to be consistent, so I'm not going to change. No. The young people need to see you properly responding to the Word of God and becoming better. Well, one of the hardest things for a kid to understand is, okay, we lived in this town, we went to this church, and we were this way. Then we moved over here, and so we were this way. Then we moved to this church, and now we're back to this way. And then we go over here on vacation, and we're this way. Okay? I mean, be consistent in your standards and in your treatment of others. I've got to hurry. Number four, be firm. Be firm. This is good. I want you to be loving. I want you to be real. I want you to be consistent, but I also need you to learn to be firm. I'm going to talk especially to daddies, but I'm going to tell you, moms, you have to be firm too. Because you know what? Dad's not there. The way God designed the home, there's going to be a lot of times where you have, you know, listen, no parent, no two parents ought to have create this situation. You be the bad cop, I'll be the good cop. I'll be their buddy, and you be the heavy. That's not fair to the other person. Okay, I just want to be their buddy and be liked, and you come in and do the discipline. Okay? No, you know what? They need to feel that firmness from both the mom and the dad and a consistency. Okay, consistency. Now, what are you talking about? I think that when I talk about this matter of being firm, they need to see that you're firm in your resolve. You're firm in your resolve. What do you mean that by that? I think it's good for your kids to see you set goals and achieve them. See that you're firm in your resolve. I mean, you know what? It'd be good if they grew up saying, you know, I'm going to tell you what. When mom and dad, they prayed about something, they decided to do it, and they decided it was the Lord. I'm telling you what, they weren't going to stop until it got done. This generation needs that because we're basically raising a generation of quitters. We are. I mean, what happened to resolve? Let them see that you're willing to pay the price to accomplish something. Hey, this isn't going to be easy, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And to watch your kids see that. Be firm in your resolve. Be firm in your commitment to serve the Lord. Be firm in that. Don't be wishy-washy. Okay, don't let your kids see you, you know, all excited about the Lord for 6 weeks and then not even in church for 6 weeks and all excited about the Lord for 6 weeks and not even in church for 6 weeks. Just be firm in your commitment to serve the Lord. Be firm in your convictions. And I want to hit this for just a minute. Be firm in your enforcement of the rules of your home. Now be firm in that. Okay? Let me see if I can say, preacher, you said to be loving and to be real. And by the way, part of being real is having fun with your kids. But there's times for fun and then there's times for firm. Well, how do you know the difference? Okay, Brother Max, I'm going to ask you to help me. I'll see if I can illustrate this, okay? Now, can I adopt him just for about 3 minutes? I promise I'll give him back. I don't want to feed him, okay? So, now you're my boy, all right? This is my boy, Max. Man, he's going to marry a girl named Pax one of these days. And come on over here, right in the middle here, and I want to show you something, Max. You know what, man? Love you, man. You're my buddy. All right, I'm so glad God gave you to me. And I want to show you something here, okay? You see that? Let's walk over here. Let's just walk over here, okay? You see that edge there? That's the line right there. And that right there, that's the line. And you don't go on that side of the line, okay? All right? And see this right here? Here's a line here, too. You don't go there. Okay, you got that? Do you go down there or not? Okay, all right. Why? Because that's the line, right? Now, who told you that? Okay, you trust me? All right. I need you to trust me, buddy, okay? And I'll show you over here, okay? Here's a line over here, too. You don't go down there, okay? All right. Now, here's this line. I don't want you jumping over there. No, you stay out of there, okay? See what happens when you go down there? You become like these people right here. Right? You want to be like that? No. I know. I know, man. So that's the line right there, okay? All right, Val? All right, man. You want to throw some ball? What do you want to do today, man? Let's spend some time. Are you going to play some ball? Okay, now, you know what? We're going to play some ball going over there, all right? We'll throw some ball back and forth, all right? There you go. All right, man alive. Oh, man. You throw like Andrew Luck. He's kind of injured. Now, we're having a good time. But all of a sudden, you start going over there towards that line there, okay? You start looking over there, and you're just getting real close to it. And all of a sudden, we went from fun to firm. Okay? Go ahead. Just stand right over there by the edge. Don't step down. Just say, Max, what are you doing? Well, wait a minute. I thought you were buddies. We are. We are. You come over here. Man, we're buddies. Have a good time. You walk to that edge. Listen, stop trying to be their buddy all the time. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, you ought to be introduced to somebody named God. Because you know what? Within God's boundaries, there is wonderful fellowship. I mean, man, we got a sweet relationship. You know what? As long as Adam and Eve just stayed away from the tree, they could walk with the fellowship of the Lord every single evening. Okay? Once they got on the other side, they met a different part of God. And some of your kids need to meet that part of you. Okay? I mean, I love my dad. I loved him. But I was scared of him. I didn't have to be. The only time I got scared of him wasn't because of his inconsistency. It was because of my inconsistency. Okay, don't you, listen, some of you kids, some of you teenagers that are living right here on the line, don't you be mad at your parents. I just don't know. I don't know why my dad's not closer to me. I just don't know why. Because he's always having to bawl you out. Because you won't get over here. See, listen, I determine the relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. He's consistent. He never changes. Okay, he's not having a bad day and a good day, or one day where he keeps the rules and one day where he says, that old Ten Commandment thing, I was kidding. Listen, you ever hear this? Remember the old bumper sticker? Feel far away from God? Who do you think moved? Okay, notice every time I get to the line, he comes over and stands by the line. I think there's a sermon right there, amen. Now, come here. Don't ever forget this, okay? You can build the closest relationship. Kids, listen to me. I'll tell you what, I wish I was closer to my parents. I'm so sick hearing kids whining. I was just closer to my parents. I wish I was closer to my parents. And you're spending half your time sneaking around behind their back, breaking their rules. But it's their fault that they're not close to you. That's hogwash. Okay, you're creating the circumstance and then turn around blaming the authority for what you create. Okay? All right, you want to be close to God? Then stay away from the lines. Okay? You want to have a good day at the Ross house? Stay away from the lines. You want to have a real bad evening? Cross the line. Now, what are you talking about? I'm talking about consistency here. Okay? I want to consistently reward good and consistently correct disobedience and foolishness. And as long as the kids say, you know what? He's consistent. I may not even agree with the line right now in my life, but I can tell you this, it don't move. And if I want to see the firm daddy, I'll come over here. If I want to see the friend, I can come over here. Thank you. Thank you. Good luck with that PAX thing, man. So, talk about consistency, 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 consistency. Real quickly on that. Moms, dads, you both got to be on the same page. Okay? Dad, it's your responsibility to set the lines in the house. When he goes off to work, those lines shouldn't change. Now, put that stuff away. Hey, turn that channel. Dad's going to be home soon. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Kiss them goodbye now. They're gone. Be consistent. Be consistent. And then let me finish with one that's maybe very obvious. Be there. Be there. You know, if the Bible says, let thine eyes observe my ways, gentlemen, we got to be there for them to see us. The way the Bible has constructed the home, mom, you're going to be with them a lot more than dad is. And dads, I certainly understand that you have the responsibility to go out and provide work, and I get all of that. But here's the thing. You're not going to have the quantity of time that maybe mom has with them, but you can have just as much quality of time when you're there. And when you're there, be there. That's why I said that thing about the drive home. You know what? That gives you a chance to prepare your heart. That gives you a chance to shift gears. That gives you a chance to say, you know what? This will help your marriages too. Let me just ask you, husband. Has the pattern of your life been to walk in the door and your wife has to hear 30 minutes of everything that went wrong at work? Stop. Stop. I mean, stop. Okay? Yeah, but I feel better. Well, I'm glad you did. I know you did. You just dumped it all on her. How's she feel? That drive home can be, listen, well, what do I do with it? Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for. Okay? Listen, I can turn that around. Wives, had a rough day. Every single night, he's worked hard all day, and the first 30 minutes is going to be everything that Junior and Sissy did to drive you crazy that day. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for. So, listen, when you're there, be there. If you're spending time with your kids, but you're distracted mentally and you're not really there, then they know it. Just be there for them. Spend time with them, with the whole family. That's fun. And you ought to do a lot of family stuff. But also spend some time with each child individually. I mean, you know, you can do that. You can fit it in. You can schedule it. I mean, Dad just kind of used to have a rotation, you know. When he'd go to town, it was like, who went last time? Okay, your turn. Jump in a truck. Man, that was a big deal. Now, a lot of times it was like, everybody in. But sometimes it was just me and Dad. And by the way, sometimes it was Dad and David. Sometimes it was Dad and Bob. And I may sit there and be aggravated, but the honest truth is I was fine because I knew my turn was coming. Dad was fair. If he spent extra time with one of them, he was going to spend some extra time with us. Of course, Lori got special treatment, the princess. Oh, my goodness sakes, I could tell stories about that. But I'm not bitter. I'm not. Remind you of a couple more things. I told you in January, most of your wives are going to be fine with a busy life. Most of your kids are going to be fine. Folks, everybody's got a busy life. Come on. But everybody needs something on the calendar they're looking forward to. Wives need something to know, you know what, me and hubby's going to have that. Kids need to say, you know what, it's been kind of crazy, but you know what? They look in the calendar and say, we're going to get to go here. Okay, if there's nothing on the calendar, nothing for the wife to look forward to, nothing for the kids to look forward to, husbands, listen to me, I'm not letting you off the hook on this. Well, she needs to plan that stuff. No, you need to plan that stuff. Well, I don't know what she likes. Well, then plan what you like. If you can't get a suggestion from her, plan everything you like, and pretty soon you'll get suggestions. And you know what I found out with most wives? They don't care. As long as you're going together. Okay? And then have as consistent of a schedule as possible. One of the ways to be there is just, man, again, I like living by schedule. I like a consistent life. And you know what? I say that, and the ministry is probably one of the hardest things in the world to build a consistency in. Okay? I mean, you know, we'll go through stretches, and we're in one now where I, you know, our days off haven't been days off and haven't been for several weeks, and it's not anybody's fault. It's not from lack of planning on our side. It's just sometimes things happen. Life happens. Emergencies happen at the church. But you know what? As soon as things die down, get back on schedule. Get back on schedule, okay? And you know what? People understand every once in a while. Just got to tell the kids, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you from time to time. Sometimes there's going to be an emergency. But most of the time, you can count on this is family night. Or you can count on this is date night. Or you can count on this is the one Saturday this month we're going to go do something. And if you'll just build a consistency of life, if the kids know, I'm going to make myself available to you, oh, that's going to mean so much to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'll help us in these very practical suggestions, dear God. Lord, I pray for the young people. They'd be willing to give their parents their heart. Lord, the girl that gives daddy her heart's in an awful safe place. She's in a safe place. The young man that gives mom and dad his heart, he's in a safe place. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help every young person here to obey that verse and just say, I think I've been withholding my heart some from my dad. I think I've been withholding my heart from my mom some. I'm going to give him my heart. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to love him. I'm glad God gave me the parents I got. I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm not going to gripe anymore. I'm going to turn off the hypocrisy radar. I'm going to get over that stuff. I realize nobody's perfect, but man, I've still been blessed. I got good parents. Pray that you'll help, Lord. The devil works so hard to try to turn a young person's heart away from mom and dad. I pray also, Lord, that we as parents would understand that young people are going to observe our ways. And Lord, we're so frail, dear God. And Lord, with your help, even with your help, dear Lord, so many times, dear God, we get in the way. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this matter, just living a consistent, loving, Lord, life. Help us to build a right relationship. May we as fathers properly represent the Lord in the home. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use this, dear God, just to help us do the great job of raising children for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.